Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I'm Kenneth Amadori, and I'm joined today with a very special first-time guest, someone I've known now and followed for years. And his name is E.B. Tucker. He's a real resource authority in the metal space, and he's now the director of Metalla Royalty, metallaroyalty.com, and we'll get into that. He's also written the book, Why Gold, Why Now? He wrote it during the illness. Within 23 days, he busted this book out. So it's very timely, very pertinent. And we're going to get into that today. So without any further ado, thank you, EB, for coming on the show with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start off with your book. You know, we were talking about gold and how, you know, a couple of years ago, it wasn't that exciting. And here we are in 2020. Gold is on fire. You know, we're seeing a lot of people turn to gold. Obviously, Warren Buffett purchasing Barrick Gold, I think, is symbolic. Many people have different reasons as to why he bought it, but I think it's symbolic as to where we are for precious metals and on the resource sector as a whole. So why gold? Why now? Title of your book. Let's start there.
Well, so as you and I were joking about earlier, we have friends that have been successful in other industries, mutual friends. But what people don't realize is that during the time when other things were taking off, you know, the blockchain boom was going on, the cannabis boom, all these different things. Brett Heath, my longtime business partner, and I were putting together Metalla Royalty, which is ticker symbols MTA. So what we were doing is we were buying up royalties. We bought 50 of them now. And a royalty is a perpetual non-dilutable interest in a mineral asset. And what that means is you get 1% of mine production forever. And if somebody finds more gold on the site, you get it. So the reason why I'm telling you this is because as the gold market takes off, how are you going to play it? That's the question. I mean, what are you going to do? What's your plan? In my book, which is here above my shoulder, part three of the book is exactly how to get involved in the gold market. So we go through physical, we go through mining stocks, exploration stocks, and then my personal favorite, royalties. And so when you look at this book, the reason why I wrote this in 23 days, I mean, think about that, 23 days, it's a 238-page book. And I had to do that because what happened in March was radical. And I thought this would take a few more years to play out, but what happened in March changed everything. And so it was urgent that I write Why Gold, Why Now? Not why gold, why next year, why gold, why now? And the good news for your viewers is that the speculative part of this bull market is still in front of us. I mean, this what we're doing right now, Warren Buffett buying Barrick, as you said, like this is not a speculative portion of the market. Like this is still the nuts and bolts, you know, time when you have time to study, you know, you don't have to be living next to the computer. You can research and learn and meet people and take your positions. You have time. At the end of this thing, it's going to be wild. And so you've got to kind of see those dominoes before they start falling.
How do you see gold playing out? You know, obviously the speculative side of the portfolio, I mean, my goodness, what we can expect with some of the mining stocks is very exciting. But what do you see gold doing that's going to spill over into the mining stocks?
Yeah, so that's always the question. Well, back when gold was much lower in December of 18, I went on Kitco and called for 1500 in 2019. That happened in August. I thought it would take till the end of the year, but it happened in August. So they had me back on and they said, what happens now? And I said, now it takes out the old high, which is 1900. And if you notice, it took out 1900 and now it's settling above that old high. Okay, it's very common. Anybody that's got experience in trading knows that that's a very healthy behavior pattern. And so now they said, well, what happens now? And now the call is 2,500 by the end of the year. Now, people are a little bit kind of put back by that. They say, wait a minute, that's $550 by the end of the year per ounce. That's right. That's our call. The thing about calling these markets, everybody's like, okay, well, what, like you have a crystal ball. You don't. Well, what happens is it's really easy to see what's next once you get a good view of the landscape. You know, at 1300, 1400, we saw 1500 easily. It took that right out. At 1500, after that happened, we saw the old high. It's just now at the old high. I mean, think back to 2011. I mean, how much has changed? It's unbelievable. I mean, back in 2011, QE was controversial. Now QE doesn't even work anymore. So now you got all these. In the book, we talk about MMT, you know, we talk about MMT, we talk about 0% interest rates, we talk about negative interest rates, we talk about all this stuff. And so you look at what's changed since 2011, you're just now back to that high. So there's so much farther to go. So 2,500 by the end of the year, that's going to be a wake-up call. I expect people like Buffett will not just buy Barrick, which is the kind of the biggest kind of, I don't know if it's technically the biggest anymore, but it's kind of the namesake blue chip, you know, in the space, right? I mean, it's highly liquid. It's a huge company. Mark Bristow's turned the company around. I mean, it's really in good shape. But I expect people to buy the others. They'll buy Newmont. They'll buy Agnico. You know, they'll go down the line and start buying the other. These guys are making a ton of money. They're paying huge dividends. They're generating tons of cash flow. Their costs aren't going up as fast as their revenues are going up. It's a perfect market for smart investors to get involved in. Still, the speculative boom comes after that. So, I mean, people have got to see. It's like when you go, you know, to a play or something. You have to see all the acts in the playbill. They give you the playbill. So they say, now this time this is going to happen, and this time this is going to. That's what we're trying to tell people. You can't, you know, you got to know what part of the play you're in, you know. And so if you could see that in the book and you could see where we're going, it becomes a lot easier to maximize your own personal benefit. And that's really what it's all about, right? It's not about reading about the Peloponnesian War and coins or something like that from 1,000 years ago. It's not about that. It's about understanding what's going on right now and how does it affect my wealth and how can I see what's going to happen before my you know, compatriots see what's going to happen.
So one of the things that we've seen is the markets recover significantly since the COVID-19 crash, the bottoming out. The NASDAQ did it, I think, in June, got to its pre-pandemic high. And then, you know, we just saw the S&P 500 get to new all-time highs. So I think the concern for people going forward here is that markets are back. You know, maybe the fear of, you know, what set gold higher might get subsided with new all-time highs in stocks. So, you know, I just want to throw that out there and get your thoughts on that as you're seeing the stock markets go to new all-time highs.
Yeah, well, what'd that cost? I mean, it's cost only several trillion, right? So the U.S. stock market is no longer has anything to do with fundamentals. It's not about, you know, companies that make products are at a huge disadvantage. I mean, I own some Campbell Soup stock for my kids. You know, I think it's like a nice thing to, you can teach them about it while they're eating the soup and everything. That's how I was taught about stuff. So, but unfortunately, I got to tell my kids, this Campbell's is an irrelevant company. I mean, I know they make a profit. I know they pay you a nice dividend. I know they make soup and they eat. Okay, but that's not what matters. What matters is money flow. So to get the S&P to go back to the all-time high, you got to get the money flow turned back on. Okay, and so the U.S. market is totally dependent on money flows and credit flows and Fed action. It's got nothing to do with the things that you and I grew up studying. You know, how do you run a business? How do you make a profit? How do you expand market share? That's out the window. This is a financialization of the stock market. Which what I mean by that is that you've detached it from actual business results. That matters less and less, you know. And so the fact is that you got to own the U.S. market to some degree. I mean, like if you, in March, if you said, this doesn't look good, a lot of people are going to have business, hotels are going to go bankrupt, cruise lines are going to go bankrupt, office towers are going to be vacant, there's going to be huge economic pain, I'm pulling my money out. You were not an idiot if you did that. But the problem is what you don't understand is that you're not in a capitalist system anymore. So you can't be playing a game that it's your imagined game. You got to be playing the game that's right in front of you, you know, and this is what's going on. So look, I mean, where people make a mistake with gold is they think that gold's about looking around and everything's on fire. It's not. If that was the case, it would have gone much higher in March, but it didn't. You know, it had a short-term correction in March because people were pulling money out of the market hand over fist. So gold, the thing about gold is it's not really an investment. Okay. So gold is a place to park your car when there's a hurricane going on. All right. If you don't want the car to be smashed up, you know, by falling trees. And that's why gold's important right now. See, but when I wrote the book, there was about 10 trillion of gold in the world. Maybe it's like, you know, pushing 12 trillion now or something. It's about 190 something thousand tons. Okay. So we did the math for everybody and explained how much that's worth. That's all the gold that's ever been mined in the history of mankind. So let's say you're talking about 12 trillion, just to be fair. At the end of last year, you had 255 trillion of debt. And that number is going to be a lot closer to 300 at the end of this year, right? It's not going down. In fact, it's never going to go down. And so what you see is this U.S. economic system has to keep expanding. That's why when the market, you know, goes down, they've got to support it with anything possible. So gold is not about, you know, the world's on fire, I need gold. It's not like that. The problem is that you're in a world with too much money, you know, where the guys in control are absolutely not going to let go of power. And so gold's going to benefit. What's going to happen is you're going to see the price move up. You move to 2,500, people start doing the math. They start thinking, you know, it's not that expensive. It's really not that expensive relative to all the other stuff, which is trading at sky high multiples with very little return, with lots of counterparty risk. It doesn't make any sense.
You know, and not to push back on you, I actually tend to agree with you. I think, you know, Bank of America's forecast of 3,000 is probably conservative. And if they're saying that, it probably will go higher over time here. One thing I'll make a distinction here, and, you know, we're okay with the markets, the equity markets, disconnecting from fundamentals. And, you know, and guys like myself, and I think you were doing it right there too, you're looking at gold and saying, fundamentally, this doesn't make sense. This needs to go higher to reflect all that money printing. But is it possible for gold to disconnect from fundamentals and not trade the way we would expect it to trade going forward here? I just want to throw that out there as a caveat.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a guy that's talking about, you know, taking my book we've sold a ton of books, by the way. And so there's a guy talking to me about taking the book to mainstream distribution where you'd see it in airports and everywhere, which I think, you know, as gold takes off, I think people need to know what to do. They don't know what to do. So there's a need for the book. Yesterday, I was speaking with him and I was saying, look, you're going to have an absolute panic at some point into gold, a panic, because if 2% of all the assets under management by professionals, I don't mean if you manage your own 401k, I mean, you know, you start looking at the advisors and the Ameriprise and the Merrills and all these advisors, 2%, just 2% try to go into gold. There's literally not enough gold in existence available to satisfy that demand. So to your point, there's going to be an extreme disconnecting from fundamentals at some point. I mean, this here is a $20 bill. Okay. It's an old $20 bill and it's in a little protective case here because I want to make sure my kids don't tear it in half. But this $20 bill was exchangeable for 1 ounce of gold. Okay. This is only 90 years ago. We're not talking about, I mean, there's people still alive that could have done this with their $20 bill. Now today it takes that many dollars to, and sometimes I'll have this many dollars on display here. It's actually amazing. So I think as people see this and they start saying, I've got to have some protection against this because otherwise I've got to benefit from the next PPP or TALF or, you know, TARP or CRAP is what it's turning into, right? So I've got to have something to protect against this because I can't just buy real estate and expect that it's going to keep going up because nobody's paying rent. I can't just buy the stock market because I got to be able to absorb a 30% crash every now and then and nobody gives me notice. So I don't know when the crash is going to be. What am I going to do? I can't buy enough rugs and art. You know, I mean, I love rugs and art, by the way. So, I mean, I think they're like, the best thing you can put in your house is not a television, it's a piece of art, because you wouldn't believe the amount of joy you get looking at the art and talking about it and telling your kids about it. It's very fun, which people don't do that anymore, really. So, but my point is what do you do with the money? And rich people, I just spent 5 days in Aspen meeting with friends and business associates and having meetings, and people are asking us, what do we do with the money? They have lots of money. What do? Do we buy another place here? We got to get out of Manhattan. You should hear all these things they're asking themselves, but there's nowhere to go. So you're in a world that's got too much money and the asset returns are this big. In fact, they're going negative. And so people are starting to look around. Well, once they get onto gold and get their teeth in it, it will definitely disconnect from fundamentals because you can't get it. And that's ahead of us though. See, right now, it's not time for that yet. Now you're in this place where you can invest in the companies that Buffett's buying, and there's no competition because people almost don't even take him seriously. They're like, he'll never hold on to that. Yeah, he's going to probably buy all the other companies too. And you can buy them right now too.
What are your thoughts on silver? When it comes to a $3,000 gold price, $2,500 gold price, 30 to 1. That's what we saw back in the 2011 move in gold. I mean, we've seen different gold silver ratios. Does the gold silver ratio mean anything to you? And do you think that because of gold's move higher, we're going to see a move in silver that is going to impress a lot of people?
Yeah, so let's gold silver ratio. I want to make sure we don't lose anybody here because you and I talk about this all the time, but I think people kind of say, "Wait a minute, what is that?" I've got a chapter in the book about it. I explain it to the point where you could have a third grader understand it. It's actually a really useful thing to learn about, and it's very, very easy. And you can divide the price of gold by the price of silver to get the ratio anytime. And I do think the ratio means a lot. It ran to the highest level ever during the March shutdown of the economy. And I do think it returns to more normal levels. But let's simplify things down to this. I think silver will hit $40 this year. You know, it's 27 right now, before we jumped on together. It's having a little bit of a move. We'll see what happens in the coming days. But I think that as we get into September, October, November, you'll see $40. Now, I mean, personally, I've got a big silver trade on right now. You know, I really believe what I'm saying to you. It's not like just some kind of, guessing. It's not like guessing the weight of a bull at the state fair. I mean, I think the setup for this is here. There's a lot of things that go into it. I mean, you can't really get silver coins very easily. You know, in March, they had a premium of almost $10 an ounce. That means silver got down to 12 and the coin was over 20. And then you couldn't get it. So it was like 6 weeks to get it. That doesn't make any sense. There's not many silver producers that are primarily silver producers. So I don't know where you're going to be able to dial up the production. And so I think silver takes off. Now, where does it go from there? Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious that it's got to take out the $50 price level. I mean, you hit that, in the late 70s, you hit that in 2011, now you're going to have a triple top and take that out. It's going to go much higher. I mean, Why don't we do this? Let's see if it hits 40 by the end of the year and then have me back and I'll give you the next target. But from 27 to 40 is huge. I mean, that's a 50% move. I mean, I'm not encouraging people to take action on that. I'm just saying that it's gonna ring people's bell and it's gonna get a lot of people interested in the mining space.
I bet a lot of people are buying silver right now. With its pullback from getting close to $30. Now where it's at, this is now a buy the dip moment. And unfortunately, people were ignoring it in the teens because they got used to just being beat up with silver and that silver was never going to go anywhere. And here we are with that swift move and markets have a way of kind of leaving investors on the sidelines. So hopefully people will be able to participate in that. I think a lot of people have been able to, but I just know how markets are. How many people probably sold when silver got to $21, because they were like, people, my God, I never thought it'd cross 20. And then, you know, of course it did.
Yeah. Well, okay, so look, so one thing that this might help people a lot is that you got to understand that the purpose of the bull market is to shake out as many believers as possible on each little drop. To make this easier to understand, the purpose of the bear market is to suck people in and make something look like it has value every time it goes up on the way down, right? So like stock goes from 10 to 8 and then it goes up 20 cents and you go, okay, here's my chance. And then it goes to 6 and then it goes to 6.25 and you get in. I mean, so that's a trap on the way down and it's trying to kick you off the ride on the way up, just to your point. And so I think people, if you can kind of see that, and you probably see it in your own experience. I mean, I keep a little journal of my decisions, and you go back and you're always learning. Nobody's immune to this stuff. It's the best traders, the best investors, it's because they've experienced the ups and downs, right? And what happens is your instinct gets stronger and stronger. Every time you make a bad decision, it strengthens your instinct and you keep growing and growing. And then you get to the point where you have enough gray hair. These things look so obvious. I mean, that's the thing that happened for me in April and May when I was writing the book, you know, and I put a huge silver derivative trade on, you know, and I added to that trade last week, because what I think is happening now is nobody's involved in silver. I mean, you just have this, like, you had this run and it had to run all the way almost to 30 to even find a correction. That's like really dramatic in a market when you see that.
Really is. And it was a great moment for us to see that, witness it, and for a lot of people to come around to silver once again, because I mean, so many people are just done. They were done. They left silver for dead. And I don't think I've seen any market capitulate as badly as the resource sector. And so this bottoming out that we've seen was just the most fundamental bottoming out that I think we could have ever asked for, with zero speculation. It's literally profit margins thickening, causing these prices to go higher. And then, of course, you know, we're starting to see excitement start to come back around. So we're almost out of time.
Kenneth, on that
note, I was just going to let you have some.
Have you ever known anyone that had a substance abuse problem? Real change is only possible when they hit something called rock bottom. Now, rock bottom means no one will take your phone call. Nobody wants to hear about it. You don't have any stuff left to sell. Nobody wants to talk to you. And even people that live outdoors don't want you around. Okay. So paradoxically, you are right on the edge of a miracle, because you actually might take responsibility and get your act together. Okay. You've seen this, I know, in your life. I've seen it myself. Okay. That same thing happens in markets. When there's nobody left to sell, okay, magic happens. Psychologically, see, now, if you're the kind of person that called it quits on silver at $11 in March, and you said, I bought it at 50, I rode it all the way down for 10 years, 11 bucks, I had enough, I'm going to forget about this and buy myself some Facebook, and I'm not going to make the same mistake again. Okay, try to at least kind of think about what I'm saying, because you were the last person to sell. There was nobody else. There's nobody else that has any left to sell. And so when you see that type of a flush, it's you don't see that but a couple times in your life. You really don't. Now, at the high, you're going to see people stealing grandma's silverware so we're talking about these market extremes, and we're talking about these market extremes. And look, just to wrap it up, you know, so we can give people kind of actionable stuff. A couple things. One, I think it's the trade of my life. I mean, I've been in this, you know, 2 decades. I've done a lot of different stuff. I've written most of the newsletters that you've subscribed to, the major ones, you know, and Stansberry and Bonner and Casey and all these guys. I did a decade doing that and managed a fund as well, and, you know, helped start Metallo Royalty, NYSE ticker MTA, which, you know, your brother always kids me, because we pitched it to him at $1.20 Canadian. It went to 13 over 4 years. So it's not like overnight. I'm saying this is a business. And what we were doing is we were buying these royalties to get as many ounces of gold as possible covered under royalties, so that when the gold price moves, the price goes shooting higher. So for people to understand, look, it's not too late to get involved in gold and silver. My book is Why Gold, Why Now? It's available on Amazon. It's available on Audible. I'm reading it to you. If you want to do that, you can take a walk. I'll read you the whole book. You can get it on Kindle. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You get bookstores. And it's the work of my life. You know, I tell you how I got here to this place, you know, how gold is important at this moment, how to get involved in it, how we started Metallo, everything, the whole thing. It's all in there. It's not a history lesson. This is exactly what I'm doing in my life right now, so that you can take this journey with me. And let's come back on and see if my targets at the end of the year are correct, you know, and we'll see where we go from there. I mean, the speculative phase of this is going to get very exciting. We still have time left, you know, to get positioned for that. We're just kind of second inning with this gold move. You know, people, you haven't even missed anything. 1900 is not expensive for gold. This is just a wake up call. I mean, you're hearing this now. You have a chance to get involved, to see what's going on. How do you do it? What stocks do you buy? What do you do? What do you stay away from? I have a chapter in there about collectible coins. Don't even think about it. I mean, you know, it's everything we cover. It's really important that you take a look at this, because you're not going to see this type of bull market but a couple times in your whole life. It's just not going to come around, and it's still early, and you can grab hold of it and take a ride with us.
I love it. And I look forward to reading the book. I appreciate your time with us here, Evie Tucker, everyone. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Those were some great closing thoughts there.
All right. Thanks for having me. And we'll follow up soon and see how all this turns out.